Good evening. One episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Well, by the time you hear this, the Las Vegas Raiders actually celebrated a preseason victory. Now, we all know that it's preseason and those games may not matter to some, but you know what? Considering what this team has had to overcome last couple of years, positive starts here. To discuss this, you have one of the best content creators on social media. You know him, Ryan Holmes. Good evening, my man. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to come out of the preseason, one, healthy, and two, with a win. Those are the only things you can ask for. Stay healthy and win the game.
Now, what was your biggest takeaway from this game? The one thing you said, you know what? I was left kind of impressed.
The number one takeaway is the defense got off the field on third down. I know the Seahawks didn't start any of their starters, and the Raiders basically went with their second team defense, but there was no miscommunication in the secondary. You didn't see guys running free. A lot of checkdowns to backs, which means the coverage on the back end was probably good. It's tough to tell without the all 22, but the biggest thing is I wasn't worried on third and 12 and third and 15 that they were going to blow an assignment and give up a first down after the first couple of series there.
Now, I was surprised at Alex Leatherwood. I know that there was a question about his pick, and you know, but and I know it's preseason, and I know that we shouldn't get super excited and super amped up, but I didn't have an issue. Like I had zero issue with Alex Leatherwood being, dare I say, functional in this game. What was your takeaway from the rookie's performance? I know it may have seemed uneven, but what was your biggest takeaway?
Well, he only played about a series and a half, so he came out at the start of the second quarter. But some good run blocking, which we anticipated from him. There was a little bit of struggles, I thought, in pass protection when they blitzed off his side. Some miscommunication with the back and with the guard on who was going to pick up who. But when he had the assignment and the guy in front of him, he more than held his own. It was just more some of the blitz communication I think he can clean up, but that's stuff that he needs to see and get live reps and games to do. He's not going to see a lot of that in practice, but overall I thought he held up well, and he showed that he was deserving of where he was picked based off of one game. He's really going to help the run game. I thought they ran a lot of zone to his side, and he opened up some holes for Regis.
And he showed good feet. I know that was like he showed athletic feet for somebody who looked like a blocking type of – like the less than live tackle prospect. Now, you mentioned Trey Regis, guy out of Louisiana, formerly, I guess it would be Louisiana Lafayette now. 13 carries, 62 yards, a long of nine. What did you make of his performance?
Honestly, I've never seen Trey Regis play until the game, and I've actually watched the game twice. I was impressed with his vision. He was tough between the tackles. He found the holes. But my biggest takeaway and why I think he's a threat to make this roster is he picked up a couple of blitzes, and he knew where he was supposed to be in pass protection. And that's the biggest thing with John Gruden with these backs is they have to be able to understand the protections and who to block. And there was especially a ball, I think, Peterman audible to an out to Aitman in the red zone, and you saw Regis come from the quarterback's left and pick up the blitzer coming from the right. So he knew where the line was going and who his responsibility was. And if he can show that he can pick up and he can be reliable in pass protection, I think that he has a real chance to make this roster the third running back, even because Rashard's hurt, but even stay on the roster once Rashard's healthy if they do decide to move on from him. I actually liked him, and I liked Emmons, too. I thought Emmons showed some quickness and some size, and he was tough to bring down. I like both the backs.
Now, do you think Rashard is done in Vegas?
I'd say it's 50-50 at this point. It's close. And the good thing with the way the NFL is set up this year is I believe you have unlimited guys that can come off of injured reserve, and I think it's only a 3-week period this year. It's not eight. So if they need to put Rashard on the injured list to start the season and save that roster spot and give him 3 more weeks to get healthy and try to see what they have in these backs, they can do that. And if these guys don't perform how Gruden needs them to be, you can always bring Rashard back. So, but if they're in a crunch and they need to fill a position, if someone goes down and gets hurt, he's who they're going to go to for the cap space to bring somebody in. So at this point, I'd say it's 50-50 he's on the roster on the final cutdown day. And there is a chance he's going to end up on injured reserve for the first few weeks.
Now, you mentioned a guy like DJ Chen. It didn't offer much as far as on the ground, but he did catch 7 passes for, I want to say, 35 yards?
43
yards. 42,
yeah.
Do you think he has enough? He's seen enough where he could possibly swipe a spot on the practice squad if he continues this upward progression?
I do like DJ Turner. I think he is destined for the practice squad. I think the six receivers are going to be on this roster or have already separated themselves. But he does offer you kick returning ability. We saw him returning kicks. Kind of a short, squatty guy, almost built like a running back. But he showed some quickness in the slot. They can do some different things with him. So I think for sure he's going to end up on the practice squad as long as he doesn't get claimed by another team, which I don't think he will. But there were some guys that flashed that do look like they have a chance to stick on this roster as far as the practice squad is going to go. I only think there's 4 or 5 spots on this roster that are up for grabs as far as getting on the 53-man. I think 48, 49 of these guys have already locked up their spots.
Who do you think that are the guys that make him swipe a spot?
Well, the first thing is I want to go to the defensive backfield. I think the 4th, 5th corner spot's up for grabs. There's a battle there. I think Keyshawn Nixon's going to make this team. I know Raider fans, I kind of put that out there on Twitter, didn't like that. But when it comes down, when you're talking about the 5th corner on the roster, he can play the slot, he can play outside, and he plays 60 to 70% of the special team snaps. And if the Raiders are going to carry 6 wide receivers that hardly play any special teams. I know Willie Snead is out there playing special teams on Saturday, but he's not going to be a big contributor there. Special teams is going to come down to the 4th and 5th linebackers and who those extra DBs are. And Nixon can play gunner, and he can also be an emergency kick returner. So that versatility, I think, is going to get him on the roster over a guy like Amik Robertson. And I'm a big Amik Robertson guy. I just don't see at the end of the day how he's going to make this roster. Because I think Nate Hobbs is going to play in the slot. I think Nevin Lawson is going to be the backup there when he comes back in week 3. And you can also put Nixon in there if you need to as your third slot guy. So I have my eyes set on who's that 5th corner. Do they keep a 6th corner? I don't know that. And who's going to – in that defensive tackle room, one of those guys isn't going to make this team. You're not going to carry 5 or 6 defensive tackles, especially knowing that you're going to slide Farrell inside to the 3 technique for probably half the snaps he's going to get. So who's the defensive tackle that doesn't make this roster is the next question that I would go to. And then clearly the 4th and 5th linebackers, you don't have a lot of experience there. Is Javon White going to make this team? Is it Tanner Muse? Do they both make this team? So those are some questions that I do have.
Part of me roots for Javon White, because you have a guy, a Vegas guy, coming out, playing for pretty much a hometown team, former safety with linebacker thump to him a little bit. Tanner Muse, I know that people were freaking out about him getting reps with the ones, but it's pretty much guess rather just seeing what he has in Muse. I want to see White make this team, because I think there's value there. I really do. But like you said, is it enough?
No, I agree with you. Just look at how they were used in the first week. The first snap that Tanner Muse came on the field was in base, and he didn't know where to line up and who to cover. You can see him kind of looking around. He had no idea what he was doing. And he didn't play in the nickel, which the Raiders are going to be in a lot of nickel. Javon White played basically the whole game in nickel. Now, clearly, Littleton didn't play. Morrow didn't play. Those are going to be your nickel linebackers. But Tanner Muse, if he can't play in the nickel and he's basically just the base personnel guy, do you keep him on the roster if he's only going to play, you know, 10 or 15 snaps a game? Or do you try to get along with the other 3 backers? Or do you bring K.J. Wright in? If K.J. Wright finds a way onto this roster in the next 7 to 10 days, I think you keep Javon White over Tanner Muse at that point, because you need a guy that can play in the nickel. You're fine at Sam linebacker if you have KJ Wright, but it's going to be interesting. I think right now they both make the team, but on game days, you probably have Javon White active over Tanner Muse just based on all the coverage units. And a lot of fans don't read into the special teams. These guys have to play special teams if they're not starters. And who would you rather have out there? I know Tanner Muse is supposed to be the special teams war daddy. I might rather have White active on game days because he can play in the nickel, he can play in the dime, and he's going to be on all your coverage units as well.
Now, when we come back from break, I want to get into what you saw from the quarterback and kind of your impressions about the speed of the defense. You are listening to the Four Press Raiders podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with Four Press Raiders podcast, Terrence Biggs, Ryan Holmes, Ryan. Nathan Peterman has been the butt of all the jokes, all of them, a lot for me. I know it's preseason. I know it's not much to get amped up for, but did he look slightly different, or did he just because of the lack of competition?
I thought he looked fine, better than I thought he would look. He knows the offense. It's clear that he understands projections, and Gruden gave him the opportunity. You could hear him audibling and getting out of certain plays versus looks and getting into other plays that were beneficial. As a third quarterback on the roster, you can't really ask for much more. He's mobile. He made fairly good decisions. Now, the interception clearly wasn't. The Seahawks didn't run their frontline guys out there, but the Raiders didn't play their frontline guys either. So he more than held his own as the third quarterback. I liked that the Seahawks brought a lot of blitzes at him, and he was able to find the right guy and find the matchups, and he delivered some pretty good balls down the field to Zay Jones down both sidelines. So overall, I was pretty pleased with how Nathan Peterman played.
Now, spinning towards Gus Bradley's defense, did you notice any appreciable increase in speed and the ability to flow to the ball?
Clearly, the defense played much faster. Now, whether that had to do with different players who are faster, I don't know if it's so much that. I think it's more the scheme is pretty simple, and those guys knew where they were supposed to be. And especially on the back end, when you saw, you know, Seattle kept trying to throw the ball in the flat and dump it down, you saw multiple guys getting the ball and bringing him down with the first tackle. There wasn't a lot of missed tackles, and there wasn't a lot of blown assignments. Which is all you can really ask for, especially in a zone-heavy defense that the Raiders are going to be in. Just keep the ball in front of you, and the first guy gets there, bring him to the ground. They're going to be pretty successful. And I thought the defensive line looked a little bit quicker. You know, Darius Filon played really well inside. He was basically playing the one technique where Hankins is going to line up. But you're probably going to see him play both one technique and three technique, and he's going to get some time. He had a lot of pass rushes where he got close and got a lot of pressure. And Cleve Farrell showed okay on the outside. I know PFF came out and gave him a grade of 90 and said he was the best defender on the field that day. I don't really know what their love affair is with Cleve Farrell, but he played good. You know, he made the stop. He was close to getting a sack. He got some pressure and forced the quarterback out of the pocket a couple of times. But overall, I thought the speed of the defense was much better than anything I've seen in quite some time on a Raiders defense.
Do you think it's more with PFF a willingness to admit wrong? Because they've had him listed so high for so long and gave away all the credit for drafting him that they're just going to stick with him?
Yeah, I think PFF has a bias towards certain players. If they're players they liked in college and when they come into the NFL, that they like them as well. And you kind of see that with some different evaluators on Twitter. They'll find their group of guys that they really like, and then they'll just continue to praise them rather than give objective views of what's really going on. I think Cleveland Farrell's a fine player. I wouldn't have taken him fourth in the draft, but to continually grade him out as the best defensive lineman on the team, I think is a stretch. And to say that he had a better game than Darius Filon, I'd say that's a stretch too, coming out of the game that we just saw on Saturday.
Objectively, we all have our guys that we either interview or talk to that, you know, because we interviewed them and talked to them that hope that they will succeed. Hell, I interviewed Marcus Davenport, who's at UTSA. I interviewed P. P.J. Hall when he was at Sam Houston State. One was the number one draft pick, one was a second draft pick. Each failed to live up to expectations. These are the L's that we got to take. I mean, it is, and I interviewed Amit Robinson. It's something that I don't think he didn't make the team. And I think with PFF, I have never been able to understand their metric. Like, I go by what I see. Does that make sense?
Yes, the eye test. They don't know what the assignments are on each particular play of each player and what their responsibilities are. We don't know either. We're guessing as well. But, you know, to come out of certain games and watch players and see the grades they put out, I would have graded them much differently than they do. And a lot of it has to do with certain biases and look the other way sometimes when guys don't perform to the level you want them to. And just, you know, give these guys credit. I know they use like a plus two, a zero, a minus two on each play, and they give them a number. And it's tough to look into grades coming out of preseason games because you don't know who they're going up against. Is that guy going to be on the roster? Is he selling insurance next week? It's a limited snap count. It's a very small sample size. So one or two good plays and you're only on the field for 10 plays can drive that grade up. But I don't really pay a lot of attention to the PFF grades. I watch the film on my own and diagnose it and come away with my own opinions.
I agree. Like, I look at their grades a lot. I mean, I test it, like, it's the basic, in the most basic of questions, can this guy play? And film tells you this immediately. Forget what he may have done in the game. What does the film tell you? Ignore the stats for a second. Just what does that gut tell you versus various formations or schemes? What can this guy do? Now, before you step out of here, how can people interact with you on social media? What do you have coming up?
They can reach out on Twitter. The handle's rholm22. It's RHOLM22. I'm working right now on putting together an early prediction on the 53-man roster that I hope to have out by the end of the week. And clearly, I think special teams is going to play a lot into it, so there's going to be some names on there that Raider fans aren't going to like. But I'm doing my best to put together what I think the best 53 are when you factor all three phases of the game in. There's going to be some guys that I'm probably going to leave off that again, Raider fans are going to have a lot of questions for, and they're more than welcome to. That's their opinion, and send them over. I'd love to answer any questions I have about certain guys on the roster. And at the end of the day, we're all going to be wrong. So they're going to keep guys that I don't like, and they're going to keep guys that other people like, and it's going to go back and forth. But it'll be interesting. The Raiders are going to have a lot of tough decisions this year, especially on defense. I think there's a lot of depth. There's a lot of their second-team guys have started as recently as last year at other places in the league. Farrell's been a starter. Nassib's been a starter. Filon's been a starter. Quinn Jefferson's been a starter. Russell Douglas has been a starter, and so on and so on. You can go through all these positions. Kwiatkowski, if he ends up on the bench, has been a starter. So we haven't been able to say that in a long time, that a Raiders team actually has depth on it.
And that's something that we need. Now, you can find us all the stuff, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever quality podcasts fall in. Ryan Holmes, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Full Press Raiders Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
This has been another episode of the Full Press Raiders Podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.